Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us here on Empower Radio. This is David Franklin Farkas, and I'm very excited that our guest, Tiana Merope, is here with us tonight, because the last time she was supposed to be on, she tripped and had a relatively severe injury. So she's feeling much better, and I'm really glad she can be with us. So Tiana will be with us in a few minutes, but first, tonight's metaphysical musing. One of the things about being on Facebook is you get to meet lots of people and have all kinds of conversations and all kinds of questions asked. And today somebody made a comment, and I responded the way I usually do, with kind of a metaphysical perspective. And he said, well, no, that can't happen. And, you know, basically, the physical world won't work that way. And my answer was, that's true in the seen world, in the world that you can see, but there's a whole unseen world. And in that unseen world, things happen that affect the physical world. And then I was on the checkout line at the supermarket, and I know the checkout guy, and he's a philosophy major, so we have some pretty good conversations while he's checking my groceries out. And the guy who was right behind me, it turns out, was a former physicist, and we started talking about the universe and dark matter and how much of the universe is seen and all that stuff. And, you know, the physical universe, the physical part of the universe, is only 4% of everything that exists. This is according to the physicists. And they came up with this idea of dark matter for everything that they can't figure out but has to be there. So the way I figure it is, all the stuff that I see and all the stuff that I do is somewhere in that realm of dark matter and dark energy, or what physicists call that. So how does that really affect things? And for, you know, a lot of the people listening to this show have a real sense of that, but some of you probably don't. And when I do my work working on houses, a lot of the houses I work on are houses that won't sell. And houses don't sell because of totally intangible things. People walk in and it just doesn't feel right. They can't tell you why, but it just isn't right. And then they'll make up some excuse like the countertops or how much it costs, but they basically are saying, I can't live here. And when I do the clearing work, all of the past events, all of whatever is there that could be affecting the way the place feels is cleared out, and all of a sudden the house sells because people show up and they go, oh, this is a great house. So in my life, I have a lot of tangible evidence that the non-physical affects the physical. And it always occurs to me that almost everybody has those experiences. They have things that happen that they can't explain, but as Winston Churchill said, people sometimes stumble over the truth, but they usually dust themselves off, get up, and keep walking. So tonight's metaphysical musing is basically, the next time you stumble over the truth, which will probably be something that you completely don't understand, don't just get up and keep walking. Ask some questions. Look for answers. Try and get in touch with this whole realm, which physicists tell us is 96% of the universe, that is non-physical, that isn't made out of particle. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And tonight's guest, again, is Tiana Merope, who has one of the broadest range of modalities of any practitioner that I think I know. So I'm very excited to talk to her. She's doing some new things that I haven't even really heard much about. So good evening, Tiana.
Good evening, David. Hi.
Hi. Hi. How are you feeling? How's your ankle?
It's great. It's great. I can walk on it. I can even dance on it. I have a cast that makes me do that, and it's wonderful. Healing very well. It's very nice.
Terrific. Yes. Terrific. I'm so glad.
And And it was very much what you were just talking about. It was an instant lesson, you know, an afklo, an opportunity to learn and be, you know, God has said to pay attention, and I wasn't, so boom, she made me pay attention, and I paid attention.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's interesting how working, you know, consciously with the spirits all around us. But she doesn't let me get away with anything, nothing. You know, on my way down, I'm looking up going, really? Really? Nothing? So, yeah. It was a great lesson, and, you know, it was a windy night. I fell off my broom. What can I say?
Well, you better get it back in shape for Halloween. It's coming
indeed,
right up.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, it's all working good now. Yeah, yeah. It's got wheels now. It's good.
So, yeah, we could talk about Halloween at some point in this conversation, too, because most people don't understand some of the underlying reasons for that whole holiday. But, you know, I want to talk, first of all the amazing stuff that you do. And the stuff that I know about is you're a psychotherapist. Mm-hmm. You work in a whole bunch of alternative modalities, including homeopathy and several of the energy modalities like Tapas acupressure technique and EMDR for PTSD treatment, and probably seven others that I can't think of. You're a hypnotist, right. You do herbal medicine, homeopathy, yeah. Uh-huh. And nutrition. A bunch of new stuff I haven't even really heard much about.
Well, you know, it's about really being holistic, the whole W-H-O-L-E, mind, body, emotions, spirit, sexuality, and soul. And so, you know, I started out at the place of the mind and realized, well, you can't work with the mind without working with the body. And, oh, my, you, to work with the body, you need to learn natural medicines and work with that. And, oh, if you're going to work with the body, you also have to work with the sexuality, and you have to work with people's, you know, energy. And, oh, my goodness, you have to work with their spirits. And, wow, and now their soul, too. So it just became an evolution, you know, to be able to heal at the level of the soul so that you can heal at the level of the body and the mind.
Right.
And that's why I'm just very blessed to be able to work as a healer, as a holistic therapist, and to be able to treat people with natural medicine that doesn't have horrible side effects like most conventional medicines do, and for actually them to heal, not just be numbed and dumbed. But Spirit sends me wonderful, wonderful people to work with who want to heal. And we engage all of their gifts as well, you know, because everybody has their spirit guides, and a lot of the work is healing who they are, and also all the roots and origins of where it comes from, back through their, you know, teenage years, their childhood, their ancestors back seven generations and past lives, or whatever else is affecting the issues in their life and blocking them from living their fabulous, wonderful, authentic lives, you know. So it's really fun to heal at all these levels, and then the shamanic healing work is really special because as you know, when we have soul contracts and pieces that we carry with us from lifetime to lifetime, and you can't heal that at the level of the mind. You can only heal these things at the level of the soul. So shamanic work and healing and teaching shamanism, all of it is such a blessing and a gift to work with the plant spirits and the animal spirits and the angels and all the divine ones, you know? We're so lucky, aren't we?
We are lucky. And you have a school. You have a metaphysical shamanistic school that you've created.
It's called Sophia, and Sophia is the goddess of wisdom. And ancient, even before Shekhinah, there was always Sophia in ancient Greece, and before that, in ancient times, there's always been Sophia as the Chochmah, as the wise one. And she came to me, and at first Sophia became an anagram for Sisterhood of Priestesses, Healers, Intuitives, and Alchemists. and that's how the school began, and that's what I teach. And now that was just for women. And 2 years ago, Spirit told me to start training men to be priests and shamans as well. People, you know, men who want to serve Goddess and the Earth and integrate the male, the God and the Goddess. And I went, okay, thank you. That's new. and it's wonderful, wonderful working with men as well as women. And so it became shaman, oracle, priest, priestess, healer, intuitive, and alchemist. So that's what we're that's what they learn, how to be. And it's over 4 years, and each year there's a deepening levels of working with all of those pieces of learning how to be shamans, working with the spirit guides, developing their relationships, becoming healers, developing their oracle skills, learning how to be priests and priestesses to the community, serving Earth, Goddess, God, Divine, whatever they do, you know, but being trained to do that. And I'm so proud of them. They're amazing, wonderful, magical people who have extraordinary gifts, and they just grow exponentially in the 4 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mama Tiana is pleased.
Well, you know, this is what happened when I haven't talked to you in a year and a half or 2 years, is that uh-huh. you're doing completely new things that I haven't heard anything about.
And the other wonderful thing is I've been studying to be a Kohenet, which is a Hebrew priestess, and my Kohenet sisters and rabbis and revs and teachers are helping me deepen my roots and helping me, because I'm ordained as a priestess of the Well of Avalon, and out of that I became a priestess of Sophia. But now as I worked with my ancestor cords, you know, it took me back through the Holocaust, through Eastern Europe, through Spain and Portugal, into Greece and Crete and Rome and Jerusalem, and, you know, the roots went back far, 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 and I'm finding an earth-based spirituality, a tribal Judaism that's coming through, that is so powerful and integrated. So we just had an equinox Shabbat, and we did a Purim equinox in the springtime. And, you know, each of the holidays that are the turning of the wheel have also coincided with some Hebrew festival. And so we've been integrating ancient earth-based spirituality with Hebrew teachings and Kabbalah and chanting and dancing and celebrating. You know, here on Goddess Mountain, the Temple of Sophia is both outdoors and indoors, and you have yet to get up here, and I don't even get on why you haven't been here yet, but anyway, we really get to celebrate under the stars and under the sun and you know, in a grove of oak trees and around the fire circle, and then inside it's a temple. So it's amazing what's evolving, you know, David, more than I ever imagined.
Right.
Wow.
Right. I remember when you first got that land, and this was your dream to put it all together, and it's been coming together.
It's amazing, the manifestation of it.
Yeah.
And thank you for helping me clear the demons off the land.
My pleasure. Just another service we provide.
Far, far away. Wishing them peace, love, and happiness far, far away from me. Bye-bye. Yes.
So I will be up there. I'm walking better and better all the time. I wanted to be able to walk up the hill.
Yes.
And that will be happening very soon.
Very good. Very good.
So
I would let you drive to the top, you know, just because it's you and you know.
I'm so special.
You are, David. You're special. And who else would get rid of all the goopy things that were around here? It's wonderful.
Yeah,
the land is really potent and so happy, and the spirits here and the fairy are, it's remarkable, and the animals and the plants, the trees, everything is so alive and abundantly beautiful. I'm living in bliss all the time. It's kind of crazy.
I get that. And it comes every time I see you, you're glowing even more, and even your pictures glow these days. So,
oh, bless your heart. Well, you know me, I want to balance the world of all its misery. I got to do the joy. And if everything was suffering, you know, people say, well, you can't be happy all the time. I go, why are you miserable all the time? So, you know, I can be happy all the time. And it works, you know.
Right.
Even when I fell, I laughed because it was like, oh, you know, shite, here we go. you know, thank you for another lesson. La, la, la. La, la, la.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I've been up to, kind of, sort of. And, you know, lately we've been in teaching the shamanism work. It's it deepens my work. Every time I get sick and I heal, I learn so much more. I'm loving the levels that this is going to.
right?
And, more than I imagined.
And, well, here, there are several things that I like to do with all my guests. One of them is get their definition of certain things, because we kind of throw words like shamanism around. So I'm going to ask you that in a second. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is a sense of what your path was and how you got here. Because people, you know, the fact that you have a school, there's obviously a process that people can go through. But for most of us, there wasn't a school.
Right.
And we started wherever we were, which frequently was not in touch consciously with any of this, and went through stages and challenges and all kinds of adventures. What a long, strange trip it's been. Indeed.
I couldn't have choreographed any of it. I tried.
And just for a little back stuff. For a little background information for people, mm-hmm. I met Tiana because I was looking for someone who did a particular modality of healing, and she was listed with the organization. And we became good friends, and in one conversation we were talking about Brooklyn, which is kind of like the motherland. We mm-hmm. both come from Brooklyn. And I mentioned my best friend Frank, and as the story unfolded, Tiana went, wait a minute, what Frank is this? And we figured out that
Brooklyn, you know?
And we figured out that Tiana was married, right? To one of Frank's neighbors.
That was a past life, though, yes.
And so when Frank was in high school, he knew Tiana.
No. He was married when I met him, so he wasn't in high school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's older than I am. Hello.
Sorry.
Yeah, but I knew him in Brooklyn. Hello. Yes, of course. Yes. Yeah,
the
holy land of Brooklyn. What are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. So I'm really glad to be out of Brooklyn. My oldest daughter lives in Brooklyn and in Park Slope, which is beautiful. And I'm so happy to be on Goddess Mountain instead. Really, really, every day I'm so grateful to be in the woods on a mountain. Wow. Wow, what a dream from Brooklyn, from Crown Heights to Goddess Mountain. I don't even know how that happened. I still look at that little girl in a Hasidic neighborhood with, you know, refugees from the Holocaust and go, really? This is where I ended up? Wow. It's extraordinary. Extraordinary.
So what was that first shift from the little girl among the Hasidim in Brooklyn to moving into this whole realm, into a more holistic approach to things? And
well, I grew up with both my parents were Holocaust survivors, Auschwitz and Buchenwald, and everybody was murdered. And so I grew up, I always say I was trained since birth to work with trauma, because I grew up with people who were, you know, they were just so damaged, so damaged. And, you know, I knew about multiples before we talked about dissociative identity disorder. I knew about trauma, rage, and, you know, all those pieces. And I witnessed and I watched and I absorbed. And I always knew it wasn't me. I always knew that they were the ones who were damaged and it wasn't me. And so I had a one up on that. I think being an old soul, having a bajillion lifetimes as a priestess and a healer has helped enormously. Because I always, you know, people say to me, because I was dark, you know, and they'd mm-hmm. Dark skin, dark eyes, you know, and they'd be like, what are you, little girl? You know, and I'd be, I'm an Apache. And, you know, and my mother would, you know, smack me in the head, you best a Jew, what you doing? You know, she would, you know, you're not an Apache. I'm like, I'm a Jewish Apache, I don't know. So, you know, I would always look for the crescent moon on my forehead, on my third eye. I didn't know where it was. I, you know, and I didn't know what that meant. And I always remembered my past lives. And I, you know, so I would, you know, I lived next to a park in Brooklyn, and the trees were very helpful. And I lived near the botanical gardens in Brooklyn, and I would run away to the gardens, and that sustained me. And I went to the library in Brooklyn, and the books nourished me, and I read voraciously to figure out, you know, how to make sense out of the world and how to get past the traumas. So I followed, for me, Judaism was so pained and so deep in grief. There was no joy, there was no ruach, there was no spirit, it was just grief and rage. And so I had to look away from that to find spirit. And so I became a Hindu and a Buju, you know, explored you know, Ram Dass and Chöngyang Trungpa Rinpoche, and, you know, did my wonderful time at Naropa and moved to Israel and, you know, explored the world and traveled, you know, kind of looking for who am I and how does this all work. And when I moved to Israel, that's when I started having a lot of past life memories. And at 16, not really understanding what that was, and getting hypnotized by a teacher and going back thousands of years and speaking Aramaic and or an ancient Aramaic that they didn't know what I was saying, but somebody translated. So I had a sense and a knowing about past lives that wasn't like, oh, I have a belief. It was, I've experienced this memory thing, you know, in a really strong way. And I think that's always been my gift. And whenever I journey to another life, I can remember the lore and the priestessing and the healing medicines and, you know, the rituals, you know, that's been my gift. I just lucky, really blessed to have that. And it's usually when I'm in the place where I was then that the memories come, you know. So it's, and the guides, you know, the guides have been just really a blessing. Thank you. Love you. So, you know, I journeyed looking for spiritual pieces and, you know, became a yoga teacher back in the 70s. That was my first job. And brought chanting from the Naropa Institute to Brooklyn. And began teaching before anybody even knew what yoga was. We were doing chanting and kirtan and all kinds of fun things. And
right.
Spirit was always calling to me. You know, I wanted to be a rabbi, but back then little girls couldn't even dream of that. That was so outside the realm of consciousness. Now I know all these wonderful women rabbis that are just like, oh, you know, they rock. And, you know, but then it wasn't even a dream, but I really wanted to work with the divine. So eventually I followed a more of a pagan path and earth-based spirituality, and the goddess claimed me, many different aspects of her, and then that's when I became ordained as a priestess and of the Well of Avalon, you know. But it's interesting to come back to my roots, but to come back to it through joy, because I couldn't heal the Holocaust at the level of the mind. I had to heal that at the level of the soul.
Right.
Inquisition, you know, it keeps going.
Hold the thought, because you're going to keep going, but we do have to take a break in a minute. I want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you, so please give your website, and I also want to give the call-in number.
Okay, now we're after. You give the call, and I'm going to look up my website.
You're so right.
I got to walk over to the thing here, hobble over here. So you tell them the number, and I'm looking at the website.
So if you would like to talk to us and ask questions of Tiana, the number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. After the break, you'll be able to call in. And I always love it that you don't know your website, but did you find
it? It's
Tiana Merope, right?
Tiana at TianaMerope.com.
Right.
Tiana,
so it's
T-I-A-N-A, Tiana at TianaMerope.com, or through Facebook.
We'll spell it out. We'll spell it out when we get back from the break, but we're going to need to go to the break. Stay with us because it's just going to get better. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Tiana Merope here on Empower Radio with the Farkas Files.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes. From Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The forest is a treasured and magical place.
Hello, Bambi.
Hello, little prince.
Hello. Hello there.
But a wildfire can destroy its beauty for a lifetime. It's always wildfire season somewhere in America. Nearly 9 out of 10 wildfires nationwide are caused by the carelessness of humans and could be prevented. But together, we can make a difference.
Watch what I can do!
Help protect the home of our forest friends.
He can call me a flower if he wants to.
To find out more, log on to SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, the National Association of State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
Come on! You could do.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Tiana Merope, amazing healer and priestess of several different traditions. And and you were in the middle of a wonderful story when I was had a cut to the break. Let's give out the phone number again so that people can call. That number is 248-809-3474, 248-809-3474. And I wanted to spell out your name because it's your website, because it's an unusual spelling. Tiana is T-I-A-N-A, Merope, M-I-R-A-P-A-E, .com. Mm-hmm. Where you can find all kinds of information about Tiana's work. So where were we in the story? Because it was
Even remember what the story was. But you know, of the different traditions, a big piece of what I also teach is a tradition from the Inca and the Mayan tradition, but the Inca, giving the Mune Key rites. And those are 9 shamanic rites of passage, well, not rites of passage, attunements that realign people, and has been a gift given to us from the Inca elders, the Laika, the descendants of the Inca. And so that's been also a real joy in my life, to receive the rites and then to pass them on. And many of my students who receive the rites are out there in the world passing them on as we speak. So I just wanted to plant that seed that everybody needs to receive the Mune Key rites. It doesn't matter if you have any training at all in anything, just the willingness and then to receive them is transformational in ways that nothing else I know has. It feels like we've been waiting for all of our incarnations to come back to receive these rites. And they activate parts of our being, our mind, our to become from homo sapien to homo luminous beings. So it's a very powerful set of rites, and in once you receive them, you're asked to pass them on. So it's a gift that keeps on growing. The more you give them, the more you receive truly, and your psychic powers grow exponentially. Everything is exponential. It's quite extraordinary. So I just wanted you to know that.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to ask you about, because I knew that you started doing that in the last several years.
Yeah.
Among the many new things that have been going on, because you're always growing and finding new things to expand what you offer.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what you do at this point has to do with community and ceremony.
Yes. Yeah. More and more. It's really wonderful. Whether it's doing a sacred bath ritual for a bride, you know, to go to we do a mikveh ceremony for the bride, and now mm-hmm. we're doing them for the grooms too, in living waters, and including the Mayan flower baths, and it's just remarkable what we can do for our community, for rites of passage and things that have been missing, plus celebrating all the turnings of the wheels and Samhain, which is Halloween, and the solstices and the equinox and Beltane, and we have a wonderful time turning the wheel together, celebrating.
Right.
Sacred.
Halloween is coming right up.
The ancient name is Samhain, and the Celtic word for that is Samhain.
Mm-hmm. And most people just think of it as a fun holiday where you get to dress up.
Actually, it's the time when the veil between the worlds is thin, and it's the time of honoring the ancestors.
Right.
And it became thing about spooks, but I don't even know how that evolved. It's really about honoring them and remembering them in the sacred ways that we come from them. And so it's more of a serious celebration as well as the Witch's New Year. It's the end of the last harvest and the beginning of going into the dark time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just the thinning of the veil part, the time when the other realm, where the spirit realm and the physical realm are most likely to connect to each other. In the cycle of the day, that's the time between, most people say, midnight and 3 a.m. Mm. In the cycle of the month, it's the full moon. And in the cycle of the year, it's what most people call Halloween. So if it happens to be midnight on a full moon on Halloween,
woohoo!
you have the most likelihood of having an experience of the spirit realm, which is probably where all those traditions of scaring off spirits came from.
I think so.
Scaring them and tricking them, because people were fearful and superstitious, so came up with all these colorful things to do.
But now we honor them, and we light candles for them, and we tell stories about them. And mm-hmm. then the Day of the Dead in Mexico is on November 1st, and it's all about honoring their ancestors. So they remember the ancient customs. They just have a new Christian name for it now.
Right. And that's basically what happened with lots of things. The Christian holidays were overlaid over the prior holidays from all the ancient traditions.
Exactly.
So.
But we remember now, and we're reclaiming a lot of our ancient traditions and creating ancient new traditions that are meaningful to who we are today and who we are becoming. Because, we are the people we've been waiting for. This is the time that the evolution is happening, we're dreaming the world into being. So mm-hmm. you and I have to be the beauty and the peace and the love that we want to see in the world. It's not something that other people get to do. It's something that we have to be. And so when we all come together with that intention, we really do change who we are, just like they are at Wall Street these days.
Exactly.
We're changing
exactly.
the world, and we're reclaiming our voice, and it's exciting to see this.
I saw a map today that showed that there are the sympathy occupations in every state but two around the country at this point. Two Midwestern states, which will go unnamed.
I see. But isn't that wonderful how it's spreading, how people's attention is out there? It's beautiful. Yes, so I think if we bring our light to the matrix, the world will light up the way that we really dream of.
Very exciting time to be here. But of course, there's also the Chinese curse that says, may you live in interesting times. So
it's still interesting.
It is at the very least interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, since we've been throwing the word shamanism around a lot, I'd love to hear your understanding, your way of defining what shamanism is.
A shaman is someone who, or a shamaness, is someone who works with spirit guides, plant spirits, animal spirits, of various forms, and tree spirits, to travel between the worlds, to go to the place, to the Hall of Souls, where somebody's soul is, to do work and heal their soul contracts, to heal their ancestral lineage, to heal their past lives, to recover their lost parts, to do depossessions when somebody is possessed by another spirit. That's part of shamanism as well, to open the chakras and clear negative energies, and put in its place healthy, healing, whole things. So it's you feel it at the level of the body, but it's when you heal things at the level of the spirit, level of the soul, that's 99% inspiration. That's 99% spirit and 1% matter, and that will change the person, what the problems were, and all the way back to where they came. So a shaman is different. It's different work than a witch does. It's different work than other healing ways of healing. A shaman has developed their relationship with the spirits between the worlds and trained to work in that realm. So it's like you work at a different realm with the archangels.
Mm-hmm.
It's a particular kind of relationship. So, and with always the intention for healing, but it's a direct relationship with nature and the trees and the earth and the rocks, and we have big conversations. and they teach us. They give us their medicine gifts, and we work together. It's an alliance with spirit to do healing work. So, you know, just like you would have a ghost leave a space in a house, I would have somebody's negative attachment leave and go to the light and restore that person to themselves. And, yeah, like that. And I'm a low drama shaman, you know. I don't swing chickens or, you know, howl much. You know, I really try to keep it gentle, and unless it's, you know, a third degree spook, and then it gets a little hairy. But other than that, you know, it's kind of like very, very gentle.
I'm so low drama, I don't even have to be in the room with the person.
I know. That's pretty exciting. After living in Brooklyn, we want low drama now. Yeah, because when I grew up, I used to live my life like a 50s Italian movie. Everything was a big deal, you know. Everything was a drama and a crisis, and I am so not in that place now. It's nice to be at peace and just, you know, ask the spirit to leave, and they do. Once in a while, you have to, you know, wrestle. But I don't do the wrestling. That would be more like, you know, Michael.
Right.
Calling the archangels for that, you know. But it is about our relationship and really learning how to be safe while you're doing that kind of work. It's such a joy to train my students in it because they're extraordinary. You give them a little and they fly, you know.
Yeah.
But the healing is profound. Every single time I'm awed. You know, we'll do a chakra clearing. Every time I'm blown away. It's like, really, this works? Wow, oh my God.
Exactly.
I am never not awed, you know, it's blown away.
I heard this wonderful definition of the difference between a mystic and a shaman. Mm-hmm. And this was from a guy who used to be a physicist, and he was so upset about the answers that physics was giving that he went to two shamanic traditions and got trained, and he did some interesting workshops. And he said, a mystic is somebody who goes into sacred unity and has a very deep experience and comes back trying to explain it but not really able to, and just wants to go back into that experience. A shaman is somebody who goes wherever they have to go to do whatever needs to be done and comes back and makes lunch for the kids.
That's right. That's right. Then we have a feastler. That's right. It's true. But, you know, when you're working with Jaguar and crossing the Rainbow Bridge into the land of mystery, it's like, oh, yeah. I like that. I like having a jaguar in my second chakra. I'm really good with that. And I'm really good with having a hummingbird in my third. And you know what I mean? It's like really nice to have these allies. Alone, I couldn't do any of these things, you know?
Absolutely.
But,
yeah,
my holy of holies.
My latest allies are dragons, who are very interesting.
Yes. The dragons are great allies.
In many ways, very similar to the archangels, but with a different realm and a different set of things that they take care of.
Yes, and you know they also represent female power. So there's that energy, but they devour demons. They're very good at that. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
You know, they're very nice to work with.
Actually, my favorite ally for demons is Kali.
Kali, yes, well.
Yes, when she shows up, it's like, yes, thank you, sister, go for it.
Oh, yes, and she wants lunch. It's good. Yeah, we have many, many wonderful allies. Kali has a mother loving side, too, but, you know,
she often gets bad press.
Yes. She is the divine mother.
I've seen many of her sides.
Yes, many faces.
So, what else should people know about your work? Under what circumstances would people be seeking out Tiana?
Also, working, people come to heal everything from depression and anxiety and PTSD to marital relationships, sexual relationships. Wanting sacred intimacy in their lives, teaching people how to communicate, I work a lot in gynecology, you know, with women's health and teaching women how to get healthy with nutrition, with homeopathy, with herbal medicine, so they don't have to take hormones and antidepressants. So I spend a lot of my day taking people off of antidepressants and taking them off of, I can't take them off, but, you know, helping them to wean off of antidepressants and hormones and onto things that actually help heal them and nourish them instead, and educating them about that. So it's that's also just a total pleasure to teach people about natural medicine and homeopathy and be able to heal so many things that other modalities can't even get close to. And working with naturopaths to get the tests that I need for toxic metal poisoning. And you know, you look at somebody's aura and you look at their symptoms and, you know, you want to treat. For me, it's looking for the cause of people's problems, treating that cause, whether it's toxic metal poisoning or ancestral depression that's been passed on for, you know, forever, you know?
Especially if you started out in Brooklyn.
in the motherland, yes, the holy land of Brooklyn. Yes, indeed. It's kind of, you know, Brooklyn's a cool place to live now, especially Park Slope. It's like, wow, how did that happen? It's been unpredictable for decades, you know?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, my neighborhood, I initially was in Bedford-Stuyvesant, but I was in Sheepshead Bay for most of my childhood, and it completely changed. It suddenly was mostly Russian immigrants. So
I lived in Brighton Beach during my high school years, and now that's called Little Odessa.
Right.
So you have to speak Russian to go into a store there now in Brighton Beach. So things have changed a lot, but some neighborhoods are great now.
Right. Well, that's the thing in New York. The neighborhoods shift every 15 to 30 years. The ethnicity
shifts. The turnover of ethnics is great. I love New York for that. True enough. Mm-hmm. What else do you want?
well, what's coming up next in the things that you're offering? What are the things that people can plug into?
Oh, well, there's going to be a new Sophia class starting in the spring. Every 2 years or so, I do a new cycle of students. So starting in April, there'll be a new class. So if those are those who are interested in exploring whether they'd like to be in Sophia and train in these ways, they should contact me. And I have a class graduating in the spring. That's why this is opening, and I'm very excited about that because they're all, you know, all really well-trained priestesses and shamans and healers and psychics and just amazing. Wow. So it's delicious to watch that evolution. And we're doing an ancestor Shabbat on around Samhain time. We're doing winter solstice and Chanukah. And we do all the turnings of the wheel. So if people locally want to come in and do ritual and, you know, do sacred magic together, it's really a community thing. Everybody's involved. It's not watching a performance. It's not a spectator sport. Each person is part of the circle and an integral part of that magic working. So it's very empowering and powerful to work with everyone who comes. Spirit is really calling to each of us, you know, to stand up and be who we're becoming. And Goddess Mountain is just, I'm just really blessed to be able to steward the land here, you know. But if anybody wants to come help clean up the land too, that's always welcome. we're going to have a sukkah. We have a sukkah in the back in the yard. So we'll be doing a Sukkot celebration, which is an ancient harvest celebration, thousands and thousands and thousands of years old, and really remarkable, integrating and discovering how far back our roots go, you know?
Yep.
Fascinating.
So, I want to give your website and spell your name. It's tianamirape.com, and that's spelled TIANAMIRAPAE.com. Mm-hmm. And people can find information about all of this on your website and your contact information.
Excellent. Or just Google my name and they'll come up with a whole bunch of sites on whole different things. I work in a gynecology office and they have their own website. And doing integrational medicine is really been exciting. But now I think I'm just dedicated to holistic medicine after being in, working with... in hospitals and working with doctors for 30 years, I'm pretty much looking now just at natural medicine as the way to heal. It's not just an alternative; it really is the way. And it's remarkable to see people heal things, autoimmune diseases and bipolar disorders and things that conventional medicine tells you can't be healed. And every day I watch people heal from that, so it's exciting and it's such a blessing to do the work and then to bring ceremony. So I'm living my dream. Wow.
Yes,
but it's
you
more
are.
Than I never even dreamed I could dream this much, you know? So it's better
Look,
than...
The more we talk, the more practitioner-to-practitioner questions I have. So at some point we can have a conversation about bipolar disorder and dissociative disorder and the shamanic approaches to it.
Oh, there's nothing like it when you do soul retrieval with dissociative disorders, how helpful that is.
Yeah.
It's remarkable, and that's part of why I needed to learn it. Other techniques weren't working. It really had to be at the level of the soul to heal those pieces. And quite joyous to see all that come together. Otherwise, I was just, seat of my pants sitting there talking to people, and you can only talk so much,
Right.
can talk, have insight, but that doesn't mean it'll change. And I like things that are effective. All these modalities, working with herbs and flower essences and shamanism and homeopathy and prayer and magic. It's all magic. It works. You know that. Magic works.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm constantly amazed at all the different ways there are to, basically do the same thing, but different inroads, different modalities to get the energy to shift. And some things work better for certain people than others, and some people are more acceptable. They'll let it in. And it's good to have the kind of range that you have and the experience that you have.
Yeah, I feel kind of seasoned. But it still drives me crazy if somebody doesn't heal and you know, and there's still pieces that, you know what I mean? There's always some challenges that take longer.
Right. You get so used to...
It's always on my timeline.
Right. You get so used to the miracles happening that when somebody doesn't have a miraculous instant healing, it's really frustrating.
Oh, my goodness. But you know, we hang in there, and it could take a couple of years, but eventually they heal. And
right.
It's beautiful to see, and it's, of course, exactly at the rate that they needed it. And, I learn every day so much from my patients and from my students and just from the goddess who keeps me humble at all times. There's so much to learn and so much to share. So that's part of why I had to have a school. You know, she said, you got to mentor people. I went all over the world to learn what I learned, but now they can just come to Goddess Mountain. They don't have to go to Peru, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's nice to go to Peru, but it's expensive. you know, get on a plane, la, la, la. But it's really wonderful to be able to bring it all in one place. And there's, you know, many of us who've been trained, whether it's in herbalism or in magic, that have been around and can share what we've learned and need to. Everybody who's out there who's knowledgeable needs to share that information. People want it. Yeah. They want to know what to do, how to do it correctly.
Right. I'm starting to get requests from people to apprentice. And,
excellent. Yay.
Well, it's interesting figuring out who I can work with safely. Because
mm-hmm.
they all want to do what I do. And
Pick me. I want to learn. We have, yeah, you're supposed to, and we have that, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can, you know, if you we can pick each other and teach mm-hmm. each other things.
Absolutely. Absolutely, David. It's part of why we've contracted to come back this time around, pretty sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know I've done a whole lot of healing in the last 3 years. So.
Wow, really have. Really have. Cool.
Yep. So I want to give your website again, tianamirapay.com, TIANAMIRAPAE.com. People can contact you there and get the information about all the different things that you're offering. Tell them where you are, because there are people all over the country listening.
Oh, well, we're in Massachusetts. I'm in Montague, Mass., which is near Amherst, and I have an office in Longmeadow and in Hadley, Massachusetts also. So we're out here in the Western Mass, Happy Valley.
the five college area.
It's true. It's great. We're in a little bubble of brilliance and talent and, you know, college students. A great energy out here. I love living in Western Mass. It's so rich in mountains and trees and water and brooks and
cows.
I'm in the high ground. Lately, being near the river and the brooks, not so good. But
right. This has not been a year to be near brooks and streams. And for people that don't get the reference, when Hurricane Irene came through, we didn't have a lot of wind damage, but we had a lot of flooding, and a number of areas had. Streams go from a trickle to completely flooding an area and doing a lot of damage. Very, very strange.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting few months.
It has been. It has been. Thank you so much for having me on your show, David, and having me on again, you know, since the last experience.
Well, I would love to have you on again. And one of the things that I'm planning to do is do topical sessions where we have two or three people that work in a certain way and talk about a certain perspective or a certain kind of problem and how we all approach it and how we understand it. So a little bit different than interviewing one person. I'm looking forward to bringing that together. Mm-hmm. And would be great to do that with you. So thank you so much. Let me give people how to get in touch with me. You can hear more about my work at househealing.com, househealing.com, and you'll find all my contact information cleverly hiding under the contact link. Yeah, you know, I do those things. And next week's guest is going to be Chris Kamisch, who is a very interesting healer from Germany. And as a matter of fact, because of the time difference, I'm going to need to pre-record that show. I'm going to be doing that tomorrow with Chris, so that next week's show will not be a call-in show, unfortunately. It will be recorded. And Chris is doing some very interesting work because he has put together the attunements for many, many different modalities of healing and put them into a book so that people can download his book, read the materials, and plug into the energy of lots of different modalities and teachers. And I'm fascinated with that and want to hear more about how he does that and how he got to that point. So we're at the end of our time for this week. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio.